Just going to pray. Father God, as we come around your word, I pray, Lord, that we hear your truth, that we are motivated to make the changes we might need to make, or to know that we're headed in the right direction. So, Lord, bring your words today. In the name of Jesus, amen. During the July holidays, I met up with my parents and we went down and stayed in the Busselton Yallingup region. On one of the days, and I think it was probably the only fine day we had during that holiday, we visited Sugarloaf Rock, which is actually in the Cape Naturalist area. I'll just get Corey to put up an image of that rock. Beautiful spot. Isn't it gorgeous? Apart from it being just a beautiful spot to stand and worship God's creation and the creator of it all, to feel the wind, to smell that funny smell that the scrub in that area has. It's like, I don't know, cat wee smell that's sort of there. It's not cat wee, but you know that aroma that's around. It actually also plays host to the southernmost nesting site of a very special bird called the red-tailed tropic bird. There is the red-tailed tropic bird. If you have a look at the body, it's actually built like a plane, or they built planes like that. Check it out. Just near the feathers at the back, not the red tail feather, but the little side feathers, tucked in are some very awkward little legs. I'll tell you about those in a minute. You can leave that up until we need to put the verses up. Thanks. There were signs everywhere around the rock asking tourists to avoid climbing Sugarloaf Rock or bringing any pets to the area because the birds would be frightened away and then their breeding pattern would be severely disturbed, because this is where they come every year. See, this bird, unlike any other bird, is designed physically to spend most of its life at sea. In fact, it struggles to walk or even stand on land. And because of this, it's hardly ever seen by land lovers. When it returns to its nest after searching for food, it's often a hit and miss exercise. If they must land, they have to land very close by to where their nest is. And usually several landing attempts are needed. The description of the bird said, when the wind is unfavourable, it can almost become an entertaining spectacle as it tries to manoeuvre its awkward body into a standing position. It actually lands by flying into the wind, stalling, and then dropping to the ground. Can you picture that? Like, there's this bird soaring, bang, and then staggering as it tries to walk. Apart from the breeding spots, they rarely come onto land. They spend their time retrieving flying fish, squid, and other prey. As you can see by its body, sort of a bowl-shaped body. And you can't see in this picture, but apparently it's a slightly delicate pink hue. a bright coral red bill and stream-like red tail feathers. You see, this bird, as the cumbersome big people carrier Airbuses, jets we see in the world, is superbly designed for what it needs to do. This bird has to cover many thousands of kilometres, flying over vast ocean stretches. There are only a small window of weeks during a year when it's required to be able to walk on land. It is a superb plunge diver, can stay underwater for over 26 seconds, and it usually swallows its prey while it's underwater. During the incubation time, foraging trips are very long, with an average excursion, can you get this, taking 153 hours of flying. That is a long time. That's worse than the long-haul trips to Canada and back. When I saw all this info about the bird, it got me thinking. This is what it got me thinking. It would be very strange if the red tropic bird spent its time gazing at the seagull with its ability to strut purposely through crowds of people looking for the elusive chip. Or if it gazed at the cormorant with its elegant long legs wading in rock pools and comparing itself to these birds. If that bird did that, what would it think about itself? See, the seagull is designed to fly much shorter distances, and it spends a lot of its time on land, on rubbish bins, or amongst people. The cormorant has long, elegant legs so it can walk across rocks and wade through rock pools looking for its prey. They have been designed for different purposes. The tropic bird was designed to navigate massive distances across the ocean. Well, you may say, well, that's really an interesting biology lesson, Sue. What on earth has that got to do with me here on this Sunday morning? I'd like you to look at Psalm 139, verse 14, in which we read, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it." Or, from another translation, "I praise you," from the NIV, "because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." See, in Psalm 139, verse 14, we read that God made all the delicate inward parts of my body. And as you well know, they are wonderfully complex. God knew me as he was painstakingly designing me with much love and care. I didn't just evolve into who I am. I was created and designed with a purpose. And even though the blueprints of me are similar to other human beings, they're not exactly the same as I am. I am unique in all ways. I'm unique physically, mentally, emotionally, in my personality, in my creativity, in my interests, and so much more. I am unique, as you are. We read in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, as Christians, we have a double opportunity. God designed you and me in our mother's womb. He designed us to be uniquely different. But if we have chosen him, we've been born again. And we are being recreated or transformed as we live our lives in him. We are being, I guess, tweaked. That design that he originally created is being perfected. Each one of us, when we were originally designed, was designed with an intense need of our Creator. And we're not completely complete until we've entered into relationship with him. For some people, they discover that missing piece when they're little. For others, it might not happen until you're much older. But each one of us has a part of us that has an intense need to know our Heavenly Father and to enter into relationship through Jesus. And the other thing is, why? So we can do the good things he has planned for us. He didn't just make us to be amazing, unique creations for him to stand back and go, well, that was a beaut job. Look at that woman I've created. She is amazing in so many ways. And I've particularly gifted her with creativity so she can paint amazing paintings. That's not the whole reason he created Barbara with all that Barbara is. He has plans for Barbara, plans to do good things. Who? For him. So what does that look like in the living out? Yesterday, as ladies, we met together and we looked at the things that we value in our lives. We looked at things that we would like to change up in the way we spend our time. We looked at what we might alter or improve on going into 2020. A couple of the things that struck me as we were talking and listening were these statements. We are intrinsically different to others. We are naturally set apart from each other, and we need to operate effectively in how we were designed. We need to lean away from comparison. Over the next two Sundays, we're going to be looking at some of the difficulties that come when we do live with comparison. We're actually going to be hearing from a world-renowned speaker called Andy Stanley. No, he's not coming to Manjum Up. We're going to bring him to you. An awesome presentation that really gets you thinking. Do you, like the tropic bird, feel that there's some places that you just can't walk effectively? It's not where you fit. Maybe you look around and you look at the seagulls or the cormorants. You notice their graceful movements. You notice their ability to mingle, to jostle. Maybe you forget that you were uniquely designed for your purpose. Over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you to start discovering who you are, what God's designed you for, what good works he has for you. And I want you to continue to walk, keeping your eyes on the Creator, what he's placed in front of you, and lean away from comparison. So next time you visit Sugarloaf Rock, be prompted to think about that bird and just the unique way God designed him. When I was pondering it, I was like, does God have a bucket of thought? Like, you know how when you've got to make a decision about something, I'm designing, for example, a small garden bed. I don't need to use so much of my creative abilities to design that bed as I would if someone rang me up like they have and said, could you design me my whole backyard? That causes me to really think. When I was preparing this, I was like, so every single animal that God created, did they require less or more thought than when he designed Malcolm or Liam or Brenda? I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But what matters is it's planned. The you that is you is planned, prepared by God the Creator. And when you've chosen relationship with him and you're walking in his way, he's continually transforming you, changing those things that need changing. So join me for the next 2 weeks as we learn to lean away from comparison and keep our eyes on our Creator. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your design. Teach us to embrace the way you made us and to walk in your purposes. Teach us to keep our eyes on you and not on those around us. Lord, help us to hear your voice, to change whatever you require us to change, but at all times to know that you made us for a specific purpose. Lord, I thank you for the vast number of different people that we have gathered in this room today, all with a whole range of unique personalities, giftings, levels of intelligence, levels of creativity, whatever else. Lord, I just thank you for your marvelous workmanship. Father God, as we go about the rest of our week and the rest of today, may you be the main thing in our days. In the name of Jesus, amen.